Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week in 5 minutes. Dr. Sam Parnia, one of the world's leading experts on the study of death, the human mind-brain relationship, and near-death experiences. His book called Erasing Death, The Science That Is Rewriting the Boundaries Between Life and Death. It's published by HarperCollins. And here's Dr. Mike Royson.
Now, where we were is we were talking about the, if you will, what I perceived as the memories that the brain had ensconced of a conversation when the brain wasn't getting enough blood flow. And you correctly pointed out that the brain doesn't get enough blood flow, so the brain cells itself are not active. And this related to something that must happen or must relate to what out-of-body experiences are. So can you continue on that?
I think, yes, exactly. I was explaining that what we've come to understand is that the human mind, the psyche, the soul, whatever you want to call it, that thing that makes us into who we are, it doesn't become annihilated and seems to continue to function even when there is no brain activity and a person has gone through death. Now, for many years, you know, scientists have tried to explain these theories, and they've thought that maybe they're due to some sort of lack of oxygen or some sort of hallucination, effectively, brought on by a dying brain. But what we now understand is that those theories, while they were certainly very interesting at the time, are outdated, because we now know that the brain doesn't function, and therefore you can't even put these down to a hallucination. In order for you to hallucinate, you still have to have a functioning brain, whereas these people don't have it. And so it suggests that actually, contrary to many people's perceptions, it may simply be that the thing that makes into who we are continues and is not necessarily produced by the brain, but interacts with the brain. And this is something that we're investigating through scientific means now.
So what does this... I suppose, what does this mean for, will we have some way of both preserving brain tissue and other tissues or regenerating them in the future so that heart stoppage will no longer be the consistent time of death?
Well, you see... at the same time that we discovered CPR was the time when we also discovered ventilators and respirators that we could keep people alive on in the intensive care unit. And what we found was that although traditionally, you see, the brain, the heart, and the lungs are linked together so that if one of them stops working, the others will also stop working and a person dies. But for the first time in history, around the time of 1960, we were able to keep people alive even when they... when their brain is shut down because of catastrophic injury on a respirator in intensive care. And that while eventually their hearts did stop beating and they did stop breathing, but this process took on some time, and during that time, their brain cells became damaged and eventually became annihilated. And we later discovered that there is a term we now call brain dead. In other words, a person's brain that's been so damaged could go through the process of dying itself, even if the heart and lungs are artificially being kept active. And so now what we understand is that essentially it's only after a person has died that, and if you've waited long enough for the cells inside a corpse, for the brain cells inside a corpse, to actually completely die, which takes many hours, that death becomes irreversible. But until that point, it is reversible. And we know that brain cells are alive or potentially alive for many hours because experiments have been shown that if you take biopsies of brain samples from cadavers, actually cadavers that have been taken into a mortuary 7 or 8 hours after the person has died, and take those brain biopsies and take it to the laboratory, you can grow brain tissue. So that's essentially the big discovery, and that's how we're now able to reverse death. So a lot of what we do in resuscitation, or the future of resuscitation, which is very exciting, is finding drugs and medications that will slow down the rate by which brain cells die, such that in the future, the time that we can reverse that may go from 4 or 5 hours to 12 to 24 hours after a person has actually died objectively.
What does this mean? I mean, there's so many different implications of this, but from a cost standpoint, does this mean, or from a trauma standpoint, does this mean that after a trauma case, or after someone is in an accident, if their heart stops, you could immediately get them into an operating room, for example, cool them effectively, and then do something to resuscitate their heart, and then over the long run have an intact human being, even whatever it is, 6 or 10 hours after the lack of blood flow due to, for example, a gunshot wound or due to a severing of an aorta or something major like that?
Yes, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what it is that the advances have happened so much in the last 10 years that most people, including most physicians, most medical centers, have not been able to keep up and adopt all and implement all the latest advances. But if we do that, then it is possible to bring people back, as you just described, and that in fact today what should be limiting our ability to save people is our ability to fix the underlying problem that killed the person. So for instance, if somebody has a heart attack and dies, we can go into the cath lab and open the blood vessel that has a clot and get the heart beating again. But if someone dies from cancer, that for which today there is no chemotherapy available and the cancer spread all over the body, then obviously trying to restart the heart and reverse death in such a person is futile. But the point here is that we have the means to reverse death itself. It's just the underlying condition. So, you know, as you said, if someone has a gunshot wound and they die, then we know that if we cool the body down, we preserve the brain cells, we give time to our surgeons to go in and find the bleeding vessel, fix it, transfuse the blood, and then restart the heart and bring back a whole person and send them back to their family.
The book is Erasing Death, a fascinating book by Sam Parnia. Joe?
Thank you, gentlemen. Time now quickly is Dr. Mike's Real Age Tip of the Week.
And this tip is peppermint oil is proven to resolve upset stomachs. Don't you love it when science solves the mystery of a time-honored home remedy? It's happening again, and to one of our favorite digestion soothers, peppermint. Turns out that this ancient herbal tummy tamer does its thing by switching off pain-sensitive nerve fibers in your digestive system. That helps explain why pouring yourself a steaming mug of peppermint tea for an upset stomach or popping an enteric-coated peppermint oil capsule to ease irritable bowel syndrome really does work. Yes, with almost all of the herbal wives' tales, there's a limit and something of truth in them. To give them a try, stick with 0.2 to 0.4 milliliters of the oil 3 times a day, or use only enteric-coated versions to avoid heartburn. And that's the Real Age Tip of the Week. Joe?
And this is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.